We continue our learning in Le'ilu Nishmas, Davi ben Menachem, Rishem Chaim Yaakov, Vinichos Leo. We're in Sukkah Paragimel, Mishnah Hey. We begin the discussion of the Esrog. Esrog, HaGazel, the Hayavesh Pasul. Esrog that's stolen, or it's dry, it's Pasul. Same thing, Lekachtem Lachem, has to belong to you, V'lo HaGazel, and it's also Mitzvah Babavera, and if it's dry, it's not Hadar. Shel Asher, V'sheler Anidachas. Also our puzzle, because kitusei mechtas shirei, because they have no shear, and esrog needs a minimum shear. Then we move on to something that's unique to esrog, shel arla puzzle. If you have an esrog shel arla, you planted a tree within the first 3 years, the fruit is asr ba'achil and asr ba'hana, so an esrog shel arla is puzzle. Why? Because Gemara says, based on the phrase ulekachtem lachem, it has to be roi lachem. Peros arla are asr ba'achil va'anahana, and therefore they're not lachem either. You can't use them. Shel truma temea, also puzzle. If I have an esrog of truma, but it's Tamei, so that's also an esrog that's pasul, because there's no heter achila, just like when it comes to Arla. Can't eat Arla, can't eat Truma Tamei, and therefore it's not Lachem. Also, Truma Tamei is Omed L'Sreifa, so therefore it's like it doesn't have a Shiur. You could say Kitus Mechta Shiurei may apply to Truma, an esrog of Truma Tamei as well. Shel Truma Tahora, but let's have an esrog of Tahor Truma. Lo yitol lechatchilu, you should not take it. Vimnatal kosher. But if you did, b'dieved, it's kosher. Now, why lechatchilu should we not take it? So the Gemara explains that the lulavim were typically in the Hadassah Maravos, what are placed in water. And when you take the esrog and the lulav together, so the likelihood is that the esrog is going to get wet. And then the esrog then is going to be mukhshar lekabel tum. It's going to be prepared with a liquid and now susceptible to tumah by bringing it close to the wet lulav. And you're not allowed to cause tumah for truma, and therefore you shouldn't do so lechatchila. But if you did, you used an esrog of truma Torah, it's kosher b'dieved, yotze yidei chavaso, because after all, there is a heter achila, it is lachem, because the kohen is able to eat it. Shel demai, if you have an esrog that was from demai, meaning it was produce that was purchased from an amaretz, who we know is suspect on not separating maaser, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat it till you took maaser, beishamai poslim. He says, you not take it for arba minim, because there's no heter achila. Ubeisil machshirin, why? Since when you know demai can be eaten by aniyim, machilin es aniyim demai, the Mishnah says in Maseches demai in Perigimel, and a person potentially could give up all of, be mafkir all of his money and become poor. Therefore, there is heter achila, and therefore you can use it, according to Beisil. Shel maaser sheni b'yushalayim, let's say you have esrog of Maser Sheni. Now, Maser Sheni is as a heter achila, but only Yerushalayim. So says the Mishnah, lo yito lechatchila, you shouldn't use it as your esrog, just like when it comes to Truma Tahora. Why? Because you're not allowed to be machshir Maser Sheni the Kabbal Tuma either. So it's being brought close to the lulav, and it may get wet. We don't want that to happen. A Maser Sheni is also called Kodesh. You're not allowed to cause Kodesh Tuma either, just like you can't cause Truma Tuma. But v'imnat al b'dieved kasher yotze yidecho vaso with mas a maser sheni esrog. Now, but the Mishnah here said maser sheni b'yushalayim. But let's say it's chutz l'yushalayim, since you can eat that esrog outside yushalayim without being poded, without redeeming it. So even b'dieved, if you took an esrog of maser sheni outside yushalayim, you're not yotze yerchova. That's the way Rashi and the Bar Tuna understand it. And others say no. The same thing is true outside yushalayim, that b'dieved you yotze. And we only mention yushalayim to teach you the din l'chatchila, that what? In yushalayim of Maser Sheni, even though Yerushalayim lechatchila, you shouldn't use an esrog of Maser Sheni. But b'dieved, according to some Rishonim, against the opinion of Rashi, even outside Yerushalayim b'dieved, you could be yotze with a Maser Sheni esrog, even outside Yerushalayim. Perikimel, Mishnah Vav. Also, chazazes al rubo. So now we're going to discuss some of the disqualifications of an esrog. So let's say you have this scab-like boil that grew. It's a small boil, and it's found on the rind of the esrog, and it covers most of the esrog. So what does it mean to cover most of the esrog? So if you have al rubo, if the boils cover the greater portion of the esrog, that invalidates it. And the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Hey that even a small boil, though, can disqualify an estrog if it's on the chotem, on the nose. What's the nose? We assume that that's the, as the estrog, as you go towards the top, it begins to narrow. It begins to angle inward. That's the chotem, and that's the section where even a small boil can invalidate it, any blemish there, because it's a lot more visible at that point. And therefore, and Yushami says that the chotem is equal to the majority, a chotmo kirubo. The same way Rov will passel it on the lower portion of the esrog, the chotem will passel it even a little bit on the top. Then nitzla pitma. So if the pitam, of course, is taken off, some Rishonim discuss how much of that pitam at the top has to be taken off to make it disqualified. So some say even if a little bit remains, that would be okay. It's only when the entire pitam is missing is when it passels it. And that's the general assumption. Although there are those Rishonim who say no, even the shoshanta, which is really the top portion of the pitum, is removed, it's still going to be a problem. And the Raman Shulchan Aruch says if you can find another estrog, better than using one that even has a small part of the pitum that's missing. But certainly it's acceptable as long as some of the pitum is still there. Niklaf, let's say it has been peeled. Now the estrog has two peels. It has a thick yellow peel that some people eat, and the glossy skin that's on top of that. So Mishnah is talking about here where the thin outer peel is gone, but the basic peel of the esrog is still there. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav makes a distinction between an esrog that is completely peeled to one that's only partially peeled. Now most of the Rishonim say, I'll tell you what that means. If the esrog is only partially peeled, that's okay. It's only when it's missing the entire peel that it's a problem. Rashi, though, interestingly says the opposite. When if only part of the outer peel is left, so then it's not hadar anymore. It looks like it's spotted. No different than having chazazas on it. If the whole peel, outer peel is missing, then according to Rashi, that would be acceptable. Then the Mishnah says nistak. Let's say it's cracked. So a split, meaning you're not missing any part of the esrog, but merely that it's split. How much is split? So according to some Rishonim, the crack has to go at least more than halfway through the thickness of the peel, or else that's not a problem. Others say it has to run, the whole crack has to run through the entire length of the esrog to make it disqualified. And some say it, as long as it's covering the majority, is a problem. But a small crack on the upper part, which is the chotem, the same way chazazis would be a problem, a boil would be a problem, a crack there would be a problem as well, says the Ran. Then the Mishnah says, nikav v'chasar kol shehu pasul. Okay, so this is a whole list of things that are pasul. So pasul just comes at the end. But the last thing on this list, besides the chazazis, which covers rubo, and the pitum being taken off, and niklaf being peeled, and nistak being cracked, and now we have the last one on the list which passels it, nikav, it's pierced, v'chaser, and missing. Now, the understanding here is that the Mishnah means both. Means I have a puncture, but not just a little puncture, a little hole, a little pin, you know, when made a little hole in it, it's not missing anything. That's not a problem. It's when it's nikav and chaser. Even a little bit, though, it's missing, that would make it possible. The Gemara Lam Navav, though, adds that there's a difference between a hole, a piercing, that just penetrates the esrog, what we call a nekev mefulash, and one that penetrates the esrog all the way through. Meaning, if it goes all the way through, even if it's very small, and it's not chaser at all, that can also disqualify the esrog. Now, if you have when we're talking about this type of puncture, so let's say it's not all the way through, so then in order to passel it, it'd have to be the size of an iser, which is a certain coin that will invalidate it. And therefore, the Gemara will add on to the Mishnah, meaning not only will this nekev, this hole, disqualify the esrog when it makes it chaser, but even if the esrog is intact, It will still come pasul if it penetrates all the way through, or it's the size of an isar, which is a puncture that can be made, let's say, by a nail that's a very large or something like that, even if not any part of the esrog is really taken off. That is all cases where it's pasul. Now, when we go through this psulm, you have to understand, some of these are psulm because of hadar, and some because they're chaser. Now, take for example, you have an esrog that is a boil, or it's peeled, so that it's a lack of beauty, that's a lack of, that's lacking in hadar. So that's that problem. Let's say, but the case of the chaser kalil, it's missing a piece, that's a problem of chaser. Now, chaser is problematic because the pasuk says, lekachtem, lachem lekachtem, can be divided into two words, lekichatama, a complete taking. And if therefore it has to be complete, if it's lacking anything, so you have a problem. You have that also when it comes to, let's say, you're writing a Sefer Torah and things. It says, uchsavtam k'siva tama, complete writing. Here we have l'kichotama. So there is some debate when it comes to the fact that it's missing a pitum. What's that based on? So is that a lack of hadar because it's on top, it's the crown, and therefore it's lacking in hadar? Or do we say, no, the pitum, if it's missing, that means it's chaser. What's the nafkamina? So an important nafkamina may be whether or not this psul of the pitum is going to be for all 7 days of Sukkot. The psul of hadar, we usually assume, according to most, is a psul for all 7 days. So if lacking, so that would mean, let's say, for example, if you have the chazazis, which is a lack of hadar, the boils, so that's going to pass the esrog for all 7 days. But the psul of lekicha tam of chaser is only the first day. So if it's missing a little piece, it's not a problem. The Gemara brings a story about one of the Amoraim who ate a piece of the esrog and after the first day, and we could use it after that. So therefore, if when the pitum is a lack of hadar, if it's missing, that's a psul all 7 days. If it's a lack of if it's chaser, so then it's only pasul the first day, you can use the esrog without a pitum for the remaining days of Sukkot, where it's only a din, it's only midrabanan. Also, chazazis al miuto, the Mishnah continues, if you have these boils on a minority, though, of the esrog, onita ukto, or the oket, which is the bottom stem, nika velo chaser kol shehu, and if you have a piercing, but it does not take anything out of it, just piercing, and of course, as we said, doesn't go all the way through, kosher, then it is kosher. Then the Mishnah says, esrog hakushi, pasul. What's an esrog hakushi? An Ethiopian esrog. So Rashi learns on Daf Lamed Dalid, we're talking about esrog that comes from Ethiopia, where they normally were dark. The Gemara also on Lamed Vav says, esrogim are only disqualified in Eretz Yisrael, where you don't have those colored types of esrogim. People don't normally see them. But in Ethiopia itself, or areas where they were typical, they are going to be acceptable. Then the Mishnah says, and others say kushi just means that they're dark, an esrog that's discolored, and that therefore it's not going to be kosher unless esrogim in that particular area are common with that color. The hayorok kikarsi. What about if it's green? Green as leek. Rabbi Meir Machshir. Rabbi Meir says that is going to be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda posel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's posel. Now, the what's the problem? So if it's green, then it's not pre-Eitz Hadar. It's not beautiful. It sounds like pre-Eitz Hadar means it should be ripe and it should be fully grown. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, if it's green, it's unripe. That's Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good. Now, the Rush, quoting Tosfos, says that a green esrog, and we know this lahalacha, and often we buy esrogim that look like this, that is green, but it's going to turn yellow eventually, is kosher, because the fact that it could turn yellow shows that it's obviously it is ripe and it's on its way. And some say at least it has to be where the esrog started to become yellow, then already, then that's certainly okay.